Psalm 27 verse 1 reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" This morning, beloved, we have witnessed the baptism of little Keegan Hall. And in connection with this, we're now going to consider David's beautiful confession in Psalm 27, verse 1. And this is our confession, now and always, and this, we trust, will be his confession as he grows up. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Let's consider Jehovah, my light, salvation, and strength. Taking each of these three affirmations in turn. First, Jehovah, my light. Then Jehovah, my salvation. And finally, Jehovah, my strength. Jehovah, my light, salvation, and strength. Beloved, the rich imagery of light includes the idea of brightness or brilliance. We have a morning like that today. It's bright outside because the sun is shining. And the scriptures have a lot to say about light, but they especially relate light to life, to joy, and to peace. And our confession here is that Jehovah is our light, in that he illumines us, irradiates us, and shines upon us. And the sun of Jehovah always shines upon us. Sometimes there are clouds. We don't see the light, but the sun is still shining. Jehovah, in our confession that he is our light, brings this light to my heart. He's the light of my soul and of my mind. This is the Christian confession. Jehovah gives to me, personally, every believer says, the light of life, the light of joy, the light of peace, dispelling darkness in me. The Lord is my light. The Lord alone is my light. This is the Christian confession. This means that my light is not my job, though it's good to enjoy your work. My light is not my music. Assuming that the music isn't worldly trash, you may freely enjoy your music, but that's not your light. My light is not my sporting team, because then I might be in trouble if my team gets relegated. My light is not my garden, though it's enjoyable to putter about in the garden. The child of God is free to enjoy all lawful things in the Lord. But none of these things is our light. My light, says the Christian, isn't even my spouse. Though you're commanded, and I trust you do, love your spouse very dearly. We may say about our children, and we're not going to fault you for saying this, that they are the light of my life, provided you understand that they're a light in your life from the Lord, but that he is the light. Because the Christian view is that it is God who is the light who brightens me. He brightens my heart. He brightens my day. And he brightens me with the light of life, the light of joy and peace. The Christian life, the normal Christian life, is a life of light and not darkness. Because we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And all the good gifts, some of which I just mentioned, come to me in God and through God and of God, and I praise and give thanks to him as the God of light, in whom I have all these good things. And you will understand that it is entirely right that God alone is our light. And it is entirely wrong if he is not our light, or that something else is our light, or that we have no light whatsoever. Because, think of who God is. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He is the one who dwells in light which no man can approach unto. The psalmist rejoices that God is robed in light. In other words, given that Jehovah in himself is light, it can't be otherwise than that he ought to be and is for every child of God, and this we confess, my light. If God is a rock, and he is, he must be my rock. If God is truth, he must be my truth. And if God is light, he is my light. That's part of the covenant. I'm your God, so he is my God and my light. What sort of a light then is Jehovah? Think of this in terms of what it means for him to be Jehovah. Well, he's obviously the true light, because he's a God of truth. There are all sorts of lights that flicker and so forth, and there are false lights. Some lights even seduce and lead people to the rocks where their ship is dashed. Jehovah is obviously going to be a very powerful light, not a mere flicker, because he is omnipotent. He's going to be an everlasting light which never goes out, because God is eternal. He's going to be an unchangeable light, is Jehovah, a light that never dims, because he is immutable. Has to be, of course. I am that I am, said God, in his light, as the eternal and unchangeable God, who is faithful and all-powerful. That is some light. And so the Christian doesn't say, I haven't got much in the world, but I suppose Jehovah is my light. The Christian says, I have Jehovah as a light, and to echo Isaiah 50, all that the world thinks is light is just the flickering of a dim fire. And that's what the world does. It haunches over the remaining flames of a very dim fire, looking for some light. And that which is contrasted with light in our text is fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, strictly speaking, the opposite of light is, and all the children know this, darkness. Darkness and fear are closely linked. Think even of the little phrase, the fear of the dark. And Psalm 27 speaks frequently about those whom David was tempted to fear. In this chapter, they are called his enemies, his foes. They're mentioned in verse 2 and 3 and 5 and 6 and 11 and 12. And if you think about David's foes, from your knowledge of 1 and 2 Samuel, for instance, you can think of individuals like Goliath, and Saul, and Absalom. Then each of them had their armies, the Philistines, Saul's royal forces, Absalom's rebel army. And the Christian, by very virtue of his being a Christian, has enemies. You can't be a Christian without having enemies. And enemies make us afraid. Naturally, they make us afraid. Enemies want to make us dark. Dark inside, in our hearts, in our spirit. Death is an enemy. Deteriorating health may make you feel dark and afraid. Bad sins in the past or an uncertain future, fear, darkness, looming exams for some of us, ungodly enemies, people, flesh and blood people whom you know, whom you could name, who hate your guts, for Christ's sake, I trust, not because you've been rude or nasty to them, and who want to get you. As David here says, and this is the confession of all God's people, the Lord is my light. You could add the word therefore. That's the idea. Therefore, whom shall I fear? And the right answer to this is no one. That's the right answer. I shall fear no one because the Lord is my light. That's the right answer. And everybody should at least be able to give the right answer on paper. That's the starting point. On paper, I recognize that the right answer is no one. And just for good measure, in order to get an extra half mark, as it were, not only no one, but nothing. That's the right answer, on paper. That's the attitude and confidence of faith, and we seek to realize that more in ourselves. But that is a high attainment, and hard to maintain all the time, especially when we're in difficult circumstances. But we know what we ought to say, and we try by God's grace to be able to say it, and say it more and more. Think, for instance, of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is light. And when God sent his Son into the world, he called him the Son of Righteousness. S-U-N in Malachi 4. He called him, for he is, the light of the world. He called him the bright and morning star. If God is light, Christ must be light. And he is light. He too experienced darkness. Great darkness. Especially 3 hours of darkness. When the Son of Righteousness was covered in darkness. And though it was in the middle of the day, couldn't see the sun. This being symbolic, as you recognize, of his being under the black, dark wrath of God for our sins. God was still light. God was still his light. But he had no experience whatsoever of God as light to him. He didn't feel it. He felt the exact opposite. But he believed. He persevered. And he came through by hope. And with the believer, each and every believer, objectively this is true. And even if we are feeling very dark, we can say this. The Lord is my light. And we're not telling lies. We may be telling lies if we said, I feel like God is my light. But you're not saying it. You're saying the Lord is my light. Subjectively, You will not feel this all the time. No one ever does. But it's true. This is Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is there among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, Christ, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, subjectively doesn't feel it? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Then the child of God is called to battle the darkness of fear and to come through it, just like David did here in Psalm 27. Believe in the God of light, in Jesus Christ. This is Micah 7, verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And you might be wondering what all this has to do with the baptism of a little covenant child this morning. My wife wondered that too when I gave her the text. Well, think of it like this. There are many lights which are growing dim and going out. Sounds a bit like World War II, but it's happening spiritually in Europe and in the Western world. Candlesticks are being removed by Jesus Christ. The darkness of unbelief and sin in our society is deepening and spreading. And parents may wonder if this is any world in which to have children and to bring them up and train them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. One thinks especially of the normalization of gross sexual wickedness. You think, are my children safe in this? Older people think to themselves, you know, I don't really want to be around in 50 years' time. And if the Lord was to take me away in 20 years' time, I could consider that a great deliverance. And then you think to yourself, boy, bringing up children in this day and age, I'm not sure I'd fancy it. And then you think, no. We must do that. That's God's calling. It's not for us to choose against the will of God. Because the text helps us and reassures us of the Lord's faithfulness. The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Even regarding my children. We hope and trust that this little boy grows up in God's grace to confess this too. The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? As he believes and battles the darkness through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Here's a second aspect of light, because this is a very rich biblical idea and includes all sorts of issues. And this second issue, aspect of light, flows from its brightness and brilliance, is that light illumines its surroundings, enabling us to see everything else. For whatsoever maketh manifest is light. And that's why they ungodly don't want the gospel, because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil and they don't want their deeds to be reproved. The first thing in Psalm 27 that the light enables us to see rightly is our enemies. You must think rightly about your enemies. Now, the way to think rightly about your enemies is not, he got me, I'll get him. That's the wrong way to think about your enemies. The right way to think about your enemies is, love your enemies, do good to your enemies, pray for them, Matthew 5. But now I'm talking about calling. The right way now to think about our enemies as such is, first of all, that they are merely flesh. That is all. They're merely flesh. that our enemies, as long as they remain impenitent, are under God's just judgment, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against them every day. For vengeance is the Lord's, and he will repay. You don't have to do a single thing to them. Our enemies are mortal. Our enemies will soon die, and they will perish forever in hell unless they repent by God's grace. Goliath looked really tall when he strode into the valley of Elah. And now there wouldn't be a bone of that giant left. Saul, Absalom, Ahithophel, we're all gone. That's what will happen to all of our enemies. Then the light shines further on our enemies, and we see that we really do not wrestle against flesh and blood at all, but that we wrestle against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then the light of God shines further on our enemies so that we see and understand that all of our enemies, just as was true of all David's enemies, and he had many of them, are under the sovereign control of Almighty God. So that without his will, none of our enemies can so much as move, Lord's Day 10 teaches. And then we understand that God uses all of our enemies and all their hatred and attacks on us for our good. Because God works all things for good for those who love him, including their enemies. The more enemies, the better in one way, because the more God's going to work it for good, as long as you don't cave in. He uses enemies, our enemies, to test us, to chastise us, to purify us, to draw us closer to himself in holiness. Light enables us to see other things rightly. And with the Lord as our light, we're illumined to see and understand everything. We see the world around us as God's good creation. We see the future as decreed by God for the good of his church, including all the wicked things I mentioned earlier. We see the future as including this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, verse 13 says. I will see him. With God as our light, we understand death. We see it as the last enemy, yes, but in Jesus Christ, a passageway into glory. And so we don't fear it. Why would you fear a gateway that leads you into glory and brings you out of a valley of tears? We understand the church to be the body of Jesus Christ. Teacher, the mother, the family, the city of the believer. And with the Lord as our light, we understand our own individual ways. We understand how we should live and believe and think and speak so as to please the Lord our Maker. We understand in Jesus Christ and by the light of God all things. This too is our prayer for Keegan and for all the baptized children of the church, that the Lord will illumine them so that they see all things in the light of God himself as he is revealed in the Word. That's the only way to understand anything. Apart from that, darkness and lies. We're dealing with the light of truth as well as the light of life. And that's why we teach the children of the church, especially the parents do this, Bible stories. The sacred songs of the Psalter. We teach them later in catechism. We teach them through preaching. And bit by bit they can understand more and more of it. And maybe one day, Lord willing, we'll be able to teach them in a Christian school. And then they will have the light of the Lord more fully shining upon their way, enabling to understand all things. Because we do not want our children to live as those crippled by fear. The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? We don't want our children crippled by the fear of man, which is a great snare, which ruins people. We don't want them crippled by the fear of political correctness, which is the fear of offending people who are trained to take offense. The Lord is my light, who illumines all things for me. So that I understand things more and more as they really are in God's creation and according to his decree and purpose. Therefore, whom shall I fear? Now our text makes a second personal affirmation about Jehovah and our relationship to him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And I want to point out here what the text does not say. It doesn't say merely, Jehovah saves me. Though that's true. It doesn't merely say, Jehovah is my Savior. It says, Jehovah is my salvation. God is my salvation. What does that mean? How can this be? Not he saves me, not he is my Savior, but he is my salvation. And in order to explain this, and thereby to help you grasp how this can be, I want to point out several things. Think of John 17, verse 3. This is life eternal. And now substitute for our purposes here, salvation. This is salvation. That they may know thee through Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Eternal life or salvation is knowing God in Jesus Christ. That's getting closer to the Lord is my salvation. Think about Christian faith. We are saved by faith. Faith, according to one of the prepositions in the Bible, is into. We believe into Jesus Christ. We believe into God. Faith is a living bond with Jehovah, in which we draw all our salvation from him. The Lord is my salvation. Think of union with Jesus Christ, and hence with the living God. Salvation, therefore, is being in Christ. Salvation is being in Christ, in God, so that Christ is in us. And we're getting close to the Lord is my salvation. Think of the elements of salvation. What is regeneration? It is the implanting of the divine life of Jesus Christ in us. The Lord is my salvation. What is justification? What does Jeremiah 23 verse 5 say? The Lord, our righteousness. He is my righteousness. He is my salvation. What is sanctification? Be ye holy as I am holy. Sanctification is becoming holy with the holiness of God in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. We become partakers of the divine nature as his image bearers. The Lord is my salvation. And so the salvation that comes from this God reflects the God who saves us and is our salvation. Ours is a very wise salvation because it comes from the only wise God. We have a powerful salvation which we cannot lose, because it is in the Lord God Almighty. An unfailing salvation, because I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. a just and merciful salvation, because God is a God of justice who is rich in mercy. An everlasting salvation, because we follow the eternal God. And it's worth adding, a sovereign salvation, because he is the sovereign electing God. The Lord is my salvation. This applies too for covenant children. This is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 27. Are infants of believers also to be baptized? Yes. For since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant salvation, and Church of God, and since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them, no less than to the adult, they must therefore be baptized, which is a sign of the covenant, and so forth. The Lord is my salvation. And he is the salvation of our elect covenant children too. Not of them all, absolutely, individually, head for head, but those who are the elect. He is their salvation just as much as he is our salvation. And when we baptized that little boy, the formula used was that given by Jesus Christ in Matthew 28. We baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Into. So that they are in union with the Lord through Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit. Jehovah is their salvation in union and fellowship with him. And so it is that none of the true elect spiritual children ever lose the Lord as their salvation. And their parents mustn't fear this. And the children oughtn't fear it either. Those who are elect and are regenerate and believe, there's no need for them to fear. And these two assertions of faith about Jehovah at the start of Psalm 27 are, of course, related. The Lord is my light and my salvation, because salvation, according to the Bible, though it's the exact opposite of what the world thinks, salvation is coming out of the darkness and into the light. It's being translated, as I said earlier, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son as a child of light. Salvation begins, as regards its application to us, it begins when the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Genesis 1 verse 3, shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 4. And God has saved us for this purpose, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Jehovah, my strength. Think of that man David, confessing, Jehovah is my strength, the strength of my life. He's saying that all those years when he tended his father's sheep, Jehovah was the strength of his life. As he cared for them, defended them, and pastored them. When he defeated the lion and the bear, Jehovah is the strength of my life. When he faced and fought and slew Goliath and nobody else would do it, Jehovah was the strength of his life. When he battled with the Philistines time and time again over many years, Jehovah was his strength. In the hills of Judea, fleeing from Saul, during the civil war with Ish-bosheth, my strength is Jehovah. his reign as king, his execution of justice in Israel, his founding as the new capital city in Israel of Jerusalem. Jehovah was his strength when he brought up the ark, when he withstood Absalom's rebellion, when he wrote over half of the canonical Psalms by the Spirit of God, and all the other good works of his long and highly eventful life. Jehovah is my strength. I never could have done it, but by the strength and grace of God. And this is the confession of the Christian. I cannot fulfill my calling as a son or a daughter, or a school child, or a student, or a mother, or a father, or an elder, or a deacon, or a church member. Think of the vows I took. Or a granny, or a granda, or a neighbor, or anything, without the confession that Jehovah is the strength of my life. How am I going to battle with sin? How am I going to receive daily at the hand of God the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ through faith alone, despite all my sinful doubts, unless Jehovah's my strength? How am I going to fight against that old man who's incredibly tenacious? How am I going to overcome temptation unless the Lord is my strength? How am I going to resist the devil so that he flees from me and withstand all the attacks of mine enemies? I have strength, not my own, strength outside of me, in God, and inside of me, by the Holy Spirit. How am I going to persevere in the faith of Jesus Christ and press on, despite opposition and abuse, despite people who don't want to know me anymore, regardless of the slander of our enemies? We have strength. The Lord is my strength. From when I get out of bed in the morning until I rest my head upon the pillow, another day in which he was my strength. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You won't be left for a day on your own. And when the devil says you can't, and when your flesh cries out, I can't, then we remember, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because it is God who works in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if you ask, what is all this to do or say about a baby who's only a few days old? He's healthy, but he's hardly a picture of strength. No fault of the wee boy. We were all like that too. You have to hold him up. Like babies, you even have to hold up their head. Can't even hold up their own head. Really, really weak. But out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength. The strength of praise. He likes to use really weak things to display his power. Just as with them, so with us, the joy of the Lord is their strength. And one day, Lord willing, if we live long enough, and if we're still here, of course, in this case, we trust we'll see his confession of faith and other baptized children here this afternoon, when they answer the three questions. Do you believe these doctrines? Do you promise to live a new and godly life? Will you submit to church oversight and, if necessary, even church discipline? That is, when they say, in effect, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Our Father in heaven, grant to us the spirit of life and light and salvation and strength, for we are weak. Infuse into us the quickening power that we may understand thy blessedness and make this good confession and live according to it. Forgive our sins and failures, they are many, for we ask in the name of thy grace in Jesus Christ. Amen.